friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Sports fans here in the United States and all over the world haven't had much to cheer about lately. Most international competitions and tournaments have been either canceled or postponed because of the growing coronavirus outbreak. Samson O'Malley joins us now with a look at how the coronavirus is affecting African sports. Sporty greetings, Samson.
Sporty greetings to you, Sonny. Medical experts at the Confederation of African Football were in Cameroon this past weekend to assess the measures taken by Cameroon to combat the coronavirus pandemic. The country is set to host the 2020 edition of the African Nations Championships, the competition exclusively for locally based players from the 4th to the 25th of April. Cameroon has reported several cases of the coronavirus. The pandemic has forced the cancellation of almost all major sporting events and leagues around the world. On Friday, CAF postponed the back-to-back rounds of the 2021 African Cup of Nations qualifiers, which were set to be held in late March. However, the CHAN still has the green light to go ahead with a CAF statement explaining that a delegation will assess the preventive measures taken by the local organizing committee. So how do fans on the African continent react to the devastating effect of the coronavirus on sports?
The human life first. Our lives first. After that, other things can follow. I think I told the line of the CAF, that is the people that run football in Africa. I think they've told the normal line by suspending leagues, suspending qualifiers. We can't put people's lives at stake because of our football. I think it's the right decision by CAF.
For now, it's not safe for the crowd and mostly for the player themselves.
We just hope that it's contained on time before we expand the calendar and we don't get a lot of postponement for other major competitions.
I am Samson O'Malley in Abuja, Nigeria.
This is Shehu Diko, the second vice president of Nigeria Football Federation and chairman of League Management Company. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Shehu Diko says Nigeria's top professional football league will not be suspended because of the coronavirus outbreak. In an interview with Iron Mike Imbonye, Diko also said the Nigeria Football Federation is investigating the cause of death for Nasarawa United player Martins Chineme, who slumped and died during a recent football match.
About the death of the player, it's just a wake-up call that we show that we further work with the clubs and make sure they comply and provide the necessary whatever they need to do to ensure that if there's any emergency, there's a proper treatment. Nobody at the moment, the autopsy had not been done, so nobody could say what is the reason of the death of the player. But what we need to say is that no matter there's any emergency, there's a quick response. And we have that all across the venue. All the cross country clubs they used to do, they have their doctors, ambulances, and everything. That unfortunate incident in Nasarawa is something that is subject to review to see what really happened. Why did we have that kind of issue, which is something that we should not have? So maybe we look at that and then we see how we can take it from there. The coronavirus, I think Nigeria have only one or two, cases, which I think by now have been tested and are negative now. So at least we are not, the virus is not too, it's not really not too massive in Nigeria to warrant the cancellation of the football. But we are working with the health authorities. We are working with the relevant authorities with the advisors to do this. We'll do it because it's a very professional field. So we have to work with the health authorities to see what advice they will give and we see what is the impact of the virus in Nigeria so far. But so far, I don't think we have reached that level. But we are constantly in conversation with everybody involved. And if there's need to do that, we'll do it.
Not minding the unfortunate death of the Nasarawa United players and the corona incident, have you reached
out to the clubs to take precautionary measures regarding the safety of the players and, just like you rightly said, the health,
Absolutely, we have that. That is already in place. It's part of the rule of the game. The medical requirement is given already in the APFL rule book, and the club licensing is already part of the rule. It has to be. It's very, very important. It's a very key factor of the regulations. And before every season starts, every player must go through a very, very comprehensive medical checkup by the club in the recognized hospital, or what you call a player passport or pre-competition medical assessment. Everything about the player has been looked at, and then a certified doctor have to sign up that the player is fit to play football, or maybe he's fit to play football subject to ABCD. So with that has been done. Even this player that we lost, Chimene, we were able to we bought out his medical records for the past 3 seasons. Everything was said okay. The doctor have said you're all very fit to play football, and we even have to call the doctor to have a conversation with the doctor to understand more. So that is given, and then there has to be a periodic check by the club to ensure that the players are fit to play football. And then under the medical facilities, every time before the pre-match meeting, the match commissioner have to identify doctors available, nurses available, the physiotherapists, the paramedics, and even the ambulance, and even the reserve ambulance. It's all there in the rules, and the match commissioner have to tick up to make sure what you have available. And he has the right before the game to inspect those equipments and to make sure everything is there. And he has the power to even call up the game if that does not happen. And then after the game, he has to report back what is the medical situation and the security and what have you after the game. So all these are given. That is why you see we are now taking some action on the match commissioner on the Nasarawa match. Because probably if he has done his due diligence, we could have known whatever. We could have averted the incident where we did an emergency response and we couldn't get it at the right time we knew we wanted. So all that is there. So what we are doing now is to further re-emphasize these regulations. There is notices that have gone to the match commissioners from the NFF, from the league, to the clubs, everybody that, look, these things has to be in place. And the match commissioners have been further empowered to call off any game that they are not satisfied with, especially the medical and the security issues. So all that is done, and then we are going to keep monitoring it. And then we are going to increase additional measures, for example, now to demand that apart from the pre-competition medical assessment, there has to be also competition medical assessment. Like during the season, we have to require maybe at half season also, the players have to be tested again, reviewed and checked again to make sure everything is fine.
That's Sheu Diko, second vice president of the Nigeria Football Federation, and he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Abuja, Nigeria.
Yes, sporty greetings. This is three-time Olympian and Beijing 2008 Olympic medalist Chika Chukwumerijie. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thank you.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, 25 years ago, the international community convened in an attempt to create a world where men and women are equal. A discussion on women's equality on the continent on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA.
Sporty greetings. This is Jonathan McKinstry, the head coach of the Uganda men's national team. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, coach. Prince Nesta joins us once again with a report on how coronavirus is affecting European club football. Prince, I understand more than a dozen players have tested positive for the virus.
Yes, Sonny. So far, at least 15 professional soccer players, one manager and one owner have tested positive for the virus. Chelsea's full squad have also gone into self-isolation after English winger of Ghanaian descent Callum Hudson-Odoi became the first Premier League player confirmed to have contracted the virus. All Chelsea players who had recent close contact with the English wonderkid have since gone on self-isolation, including the men's first team squad, coaching staff, and multiple personnel. The 19-year-old later posted a message to his supporters via social media saying, and I quote, "As you may be aware, I hit the virus for the last couple of days, which I've recovered from. I'm following the health guidelines and self-isolating from everybody for the week. Hope to see everybody soon and hope to be back on the pitch very soon." Arsenal manager Mikel Arteta also tested positive, forcing the club to close its training complex and put the entire first team in self-isolation. Others who've tested positive include Valencian Argentine defender Ezequiel Garay, Valencia centre-back Eliakim Mangala, Juventus defender Daniel Rugani, five Sampdorian players, and Olympiacos and Nottingham Forest owner Evangelos Mainakis. Meanwhile, Manchester United midfielder of Guinean descent Paul Pogba set up a fundraising page and pledged financial support to help children affected by the coronavirus. The French international also said he will double the fund if his goal of $33,000 is reached.
Prince, let's give a sunny side of sports salute to Paul Pogba for that fundraising effort. Yes, Prince, the coronavirus pandemic has had a profound impact on the sports world.
Yes, Sonny, the Premier League season has been suspended until April 3rd at the earliest due to the widespread coronavirus outbreak. The league became the latest high-profile football competition to take preventive action, with the Champions League, Europa League, La Liga, Ligue 1 and Serie A announcing suspensions to play. In addition, the English Football League announced a suspension to the Championship, League One and League Two in England until April 3rd. UEFA will also discuss the postponement of Euro 2020 during an emergency video conference involving all 55 European football associations on Tuesday.
Prince, let's turn to social media. I understand some top players have taken to Twitter to talk about coronavirus.
Yes, Sonny. The high-profile soccer players include five-time Ballon d'Or winner Cristiano Ronaldo, Arsenal playmaker Mesut Ozil, and Tottenham's defender Toby Alderweireld. Toby tweeted, and I quote, "The well-being of fans, players, staff, and everyone must come first during this situation. Please respect and follow the measures taken to try to turn this around as soon as possible. My thoughts go out to those already affected, and I hope everyone stays as healthy as possible." End of quote. Ozil tweeted, and I quote, "As we go through this global issue, we should not forget to say thank you to all doctors, nurses, and scientists worldwide who are helping to keep this virus from spreading. They are under high pressure and deserves our respect and dignity." Five-time Ballon d'Or winner Cristiano Ronaldo also discussed the coronavirus pandemic on social media, tweeting, and I quote, "The world is going through a difficult time and demands the utmost care and attention from everyone. Today, I'm not speaking to you as a footballer, but as a son, as a father, as a human being, aware of the latest events that are affecting the world. I stand in solidarity with those who are fighting the virus, such as my partner Daniel Rugani, and all my support for the incredible work that medical professionals are doing by putting their lives at risk to save those of others." End of quote. Here on the sunny side of sports, we also stand in solidarity with the victims of the coronavirus and their families. I'm Prince Nesta on the sunny side of sports. Back to you, Sunny.
Thanks, Prince. Let's take a break now for these Voice of America programming announcements.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music. And Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
Voice of America.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. As I mentioned, sports competitions all over the world have been canceled or postponed, casualties of the coronavirus outbreak. VOA's Ardita Dunalari joins us now. She looks at the impact of these cancellations and postponements, both psychologically and economically.
Closed ticket counters, fans turned away at sporting events, and locked down stadiums as authorities in the United States and other countries cancel mass gatherings, including sports competitions, to control the spread of coronavirus. For the general public, it's one less way to escape the panic, says cognitive scientist Samuel Vassier.
Sports or any distraction is, you know, things that we need. We need to take our minds away from this panic. We need to unplug from social media. We need to spend time with loved ones. We need to engage in leisurely activities.
It's hard to quantify the psychological impact of these cancellations on fans who rely on sports for entertainment as a break from worry and a time to rejuvenate. Conrad Wycheck is a sports data analyst.
It's a great bonding thing for office workers, for people in cafes, even you know, strangers on the street will talk about sport. So removing that, especially in a time of crisis, may have unforeseen impacts, really.
Meanwhile, host countries and communities of major sporting events are bracing for the economic blow due to lost sports revenue from ticket sales, tourism, and sponsorship.
The London Games in 2012, that brought in close to 700,000 overseas visitors, and over 8.2 million tickets were sold. So from that point of view, you have a substantial impact on a host economy.
A potential loss, he says, that Japan needs to gear for as the upcoming Olympic Games are now in question. From Olympic venues to the college and high school arenas, cancelled competitions will spell economic difficulties for every host community and for the small businesses that rely on this activity.
20,000 people turning up every couple of nights for an NBA game is a significant impact for has a significant economic impact for any local area. So from that point of view, any event disruption has been, people are relying on that economically.
Disruption is not all bad, says McGill University professor Samuel Vassier, adding that there is a way to reap benefits.
Being able to slow down, being able to unplug, being able to not work as much, being able to spend time with families and loved ones, having an extended Sabbath, in a sense, is a really good thing that could have lots of positive effects on cooperation, on family ties, you know, on our well-being.
He stresses that it helps to remember that we all, across the globe, are in this together. A flare of hope this week with the lighting of the Olympic torch, even though there is talk about postponing the Summer Games in Japan. Among the ruins of ancient Greece, a tradition carried down from antiquity served as a reminder of the crises that humanity has faced and survived in generations. Ardita Dunalari, VOA News, Washington.
The Voice of America.
fans have a lot to hear each day on VOA. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports for the latest from Africa, the United States, and around the world.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro.
Find the Sunny Side of Sports on the radio, online, and as a podcast.
This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
I get it.
This is Dikembe Mutombo. I am from Africa. Malaria kills thousands of children every day. Don't let your child be one of them. Make sure they sleep under a treated mosquito net. Beating malaria is like winning at basketball. You need to get to the net.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
I'm VOA Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In African athletics, South Africa's two-time Olympic champion Caster Semenya is hoping to run the 200 meters at the 2020 Tokyo Olympics. If Semenya can reach the Olympic 200 meters qualifying time, she could compete over a distance that would allow her to avoid World Athletics regulations limiting her testosterone levels. Semenya is currently barred from competing in top-level races in distances from 400 meters to 1 mile unless she undergoes treatment to reduce her natural testosterone levels. Our Voice of America listeners will remember Caster Semenya won her 2 Olympic gold medals and 3 world championship gold medals at the 800-meter distance. She announced her decision to run the 200 meters on her Instagram account. Caster Semenya said the decision was driven by a desire to compete at the highest level of sport. Now, Semenya will need to improve her personal best in the 200 meters by nearly 2 seconds to qualify for the Tokyo Games. Semenya's current personal best in the 200 meters is 24.26 seconds. The Olympic 200-meter qualifying standard is 22.80 seconds. Elsewhere in athletics, the Sunny Side of Sports remembers Dana Zatopkova, an Olympic javelin champion at the 1952 Helsinki Games, and the wife of the late Czech running great Emil Zatopek. The Czech Olympic Committee says she died in Prague at the age of 97. No cause of death was given. And those 1952 Helsinki Games remind me, I remember traveling to Finland and Helsinki in 2005 for the World Athletics Championships. Great city, Helsinki. A healthy city, Helsinki.
VOA!
I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America.
And that wraps up the March 16th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. I'm VOA Sunny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
V.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Join your host, Larry London, for Border Crossings, VOA's Worldwide Music Request Hour, every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in to hear your favorite songs and artists, win prizes and giveaways, and get the latest scoop from exclusive celebrity interviews. Send in requests to our Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or call 202-618-2077 to have your favorite music played for the entire world. Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal.
This is Science in a Minute.
According to scientists, nearly 800,000 years ago, a 2-kilometer-wide meteorite struck the Earth with such force that debris from the collision was flung over Asia, Australia, and Antarctica. What has long been a mystery is that the impact crater from the tremendous strike has never been found. Researchers led by Nanyang Technological University in Singapore say they have found what might be the location of the missing impact crater. After gathering geochemical, geophysical, and geochronological evidence, the researchers suggest that the crater is buried beneath the Bulawayo Plateau volcanic field in southern Laos. The scientists say their evidence indicates that the crater is approximately 15 kilometers wide. A study published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences details their findings. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues.
It's about listening to them
and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.